بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the book Important Lessons for the Ummah, and we have finished the early sections on the Hajj, and the last thing we talked about was the Umrah. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we will talk about the procedure for Hajj. Let it be remembered, hopefully, that the types of Hajj are three. We need to know this. We need to understand that the types of Hajj are three before we proceed. So the first type of Hajj is the tamattu' Hajj. The tamattu'. The first one is tamattu'. And this means the person enters the state of ihram, assumes the ritual state with the intention of performing the umrah first. Now, when? During the months of Hajj. So when the person completes the Umrah, then he terminates his state of Ihram and then assumes the state of Ihram for Hajj on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day known as the day of Tarwiyah. Known as the day of Tarwiyah. Now he enters the state of Hajj now. And the pilgrim does not need to leave Mecca to go to the specified station or miqat to re-enter this state of Hajj. No, he can do this in his residence in Mecca or in Mina. And this type of Hajj, which is the tamattu', requires that the pilgrim offers a hadi, which is the sacrificial animal. This is the first type. The second type is the Qiran. In this type, the pilgrim assumes the state of Ihram for the purpose of performing the Hajj and the Umrah jointly, without or with an uninterrupted ihram, unlike the first situation. So I repeat, here there is the pilgrim assumes the state of ihram for the purpose of doing the Hajj and Umrah jointly, without or with an uninterrupted ihram, until the one casts the pebbles. On the day of Eid, which is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, and shaves off his head. This also requires hadi, sacrificial animal. This is the second type, the joint Hajj and Umrah, Qiran. The third is Ifrad, singling. Qiran has a meaning of attachment, of linkage. Here, the third type is the Ifrad. In this situation, the pilgrim assumes the state of Ihram for Hajj only. Assumes the state of Ihram, entering the ritual of Hajj only. The best of these three is the first one, the best of these three is the first one. And many scholars are on the opinion that the one who did not perform his Hajj of Islam, that it is an obligation to take the first one, to take the first one, the tamattu. So these are the three types of Hajj. Now as to the procedure of Hajj. And we're going to begin with the best type. With the best type. And that is the one in which the pilgrim enters the state of Umrah first. Enters the state of Umrah first. So we mentioned the procedure for Umrah in the last lecture or discussion. We detailed the state of Umrah. So when the person finishes the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, he shortens his hair. If the time between the end of his Umrah and the entrance into the state of Hajj is short, then in this case he shortens in order to keep enough hair so as to shave on Hajj. But if there is sufficient time for the hair to grow, then it is better to shave. And shortening means cutting short all of one's hair. Shaving is clear. Shortening does not mean clipping just a few hair here and there, as many people do, and you see them doing this. You see them after finishing the sa'i and they reach the Marwa, Mount Marwa, they begin to shorten by taking few hairs from this section or that section of the head. This is ignorance, incorrect. And the woman may take at the tip of the finger from her hair. May take the tip of a finger from her hair. So, and at this time now, the person finishes the Umrah. At this point, the person finishes the Umrah. Then he's going to go for the Hajj. He's going to go for the Hajj. On the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the month of the Dhul Hijjah, which is known as the day of Tarwiyah, famous for the day of Tarwiyah. So the person who is performing tamattu, this is the first type, reassumes the ihram. So when he finishes the umrah, he takes his ihram off. He's done with the umrah. On the 8th, he resumes it. And you see now, this type of hajj is interrupted by leaving the state of ihram following the umrah. Is that clear? Is interrupted by leaving the state of ihram following the umrah, waiting for hajj. Clear? Is this clear? Okay. No. So then he reassumes the ihram to enter and to begin his Hajj rites, the ritual of Hajj. He assumes it in the same manner as he begins when he entered the miqat, the station. But he does not go to the miqat. He assumes or enters the state of ihram for the ritual of Hajj in his residence. So when he is in Mecca, this is his place. This is the place. And then he begins the talbiyah. He begins the talbiyah. And the talbiyah means saying, لبيك اللهم لبيك. Here I am responding to you, O Allah, to perform the Hajj. لبيك اللهم بحج. لبيك اللهم بحج. Sorry, correct this. لبيك اللهم لبيك. It should be لبيك اللهم بحج. Because he needs now to enter the state of Hajj. لبيك اللهم بحج. Here I am responding to you, O Allah, to perform Hajj. Now, what about if a person is doing the Qiran, the uninterrupted, or the Ifrad, the single? With respect to the person performing the Qiran type and the Ifrad type, they remain in Ihram throughout the Hajj procedure. They remain in Ihram throughout the Hajj procedure. Remember, uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. Why therefore, can you understand now? You tell me. Can you understand why the first type is known as tamattu', enjoyable Hajj? Can you deduce now from the discussion so far why the first type is known as tamattu', enjoyable, enjoining? Why? No. More general than this. Yes, more general than this. Because when the person is in the first type, yes, the interruption is you leave the state of Ihram after finishing the Umrah. And therefore, everything will be halal for you. Right? So the person can enjoy the spouse and etc. You understand? Until the Hajj, until he enters the state of Hajj. Is that clear? Until he enters the state of Hajj. You understand? Okay. Now the Quran is uninterrupted. The Umrah and Hajj are joined. No interruption. You understand? One is understanding, one is not. We repeat. In the first type, the tamattu', okay? The tamattu' involves, it begins with Umrah, then followed by Hajj. But when he finishes the Umrah, he leaves the state of Ihram. Because the Umrah takes place before Hajj. You understand? The Umrah takes place before Hajj, during the time of Hajj. So when he finishes the Umrah, there will be time until Hajj. Right? So he leaves the state of Ihram, and therefore the forbidden for him to do will be allowable. So he will enjoy it. You understand? Okay. Now, okay, fine, alhamdulillah. Now, with respect to the Quran, which is combination, which is joint, the Umrah and Hajj are in one state of Ihram. Okay? No interruption. And with respect to the Ifrad, which is single, it's obvious, because it's only one. One what? One what? The singular is only one what?
One Hajj, yes, only one. It's Hajj only. It's only one Ihram, Hajj only. Uninterrupted, because it's only singular. Yes, right. Now, so, after entering the ritual of Hajj, the pilgrim continues the talbiyah now. The talbiyah. What is the talbiyah? Labbaik Allahumma, labbaik. Labbaika la sharika laka, labbaik. Inna alhamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. O Allah, here I am responding to you. Labbaik, I am responding to you. La sharika lak, you have no partner with you or beside you. Labbaik, here I am responding. It's all tawheed. Inna alhamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk, all the praise and all the bounty is yours. Wal mulk, and all the kingdom is yours. La sharika lak, you have no partner. You understand? This is all tawheed. And that's why when we began this subject, we began this subject by emphasizing that the Hajj is totally tawheed from the beginning to start. Then the person proceeds to Mina on the 8th after entering the state of Hajj. Or those on the state of Qiran and Ifrad, they go to Mina before noon. They move before noon. When they reach Mina, the sunnah is to pray the dhuhr in Mina. And the daily prayers there are on time. But Dhuhr is shortened to 2, Asr is shortened to 2, and Isha is shortened to 2 in Mina. So the 4 rak'ah prayers are shortened to 2 each. This is, and then he stays in Mina till the next morning. On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and following the sun rising, they move, the pilgrim proceeds to Arafah, the plain of Arafah, making talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, as preceded, and takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. It's preferable for him to walk if he can. Otherwise he can ride. It is the practice of the sunnah. It is the sunnah to stop on the way there at Namira. Namira. To stop there until noon, a place where the Prophet ﷺ stopped. And this Namira, is a place near Arafah. But it is not part of Arafah. Remember, you have to keep this in mind. This place of Namira is close to Arafah, but it is not part of it. This may be difficult in our times, but those who walk, they can do it. And those who have, because, why we say this? Because now Hajj is mostly in campaigns. Because in our times, Hajj is mostly in campaigns. And each group has its own camp in Arafah. So they all move to Arafah. The campaigns take their people to their camps in Arafah. Each assigned to its specific camp by the authorities. Each campaign will have its specific camp assigned to it by authorities. Now, in Arafah, at the time of Dhuhr, the person combines Asr to Dhuhr and prays them combined, jointly, at the time of Dhuhr. Two rak'ah each. In Arafah, it is recommended for the Muslim to face the Qibla, invoking Allah continuously with humbleness and lowly with one's palms facing upward. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us as to what is the best to be said. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of the words which I and the prophets before me uttered on Arafah are the following: La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah, there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah alone. Wahdahu, la sharika lah, alone, having no partners. Lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, to him belongs the mulk, the dominion, the kingdom. Wa lahu al-hamd, and all the praise is due to him. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he is all capable of doing all things." Contemplate, this is what the Prophet ﷺ told us, that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the prophets before him used to declare this pure tawheed declaration. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku, wa lahu al-hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Remember it. From now, let it be practiced on your tongue. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku, wa lahu al-hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Many times you hear standing on the plain of Arafah, and some people, due to ignorance, they would think that standing is, they stand on their feet all day long. This is incorrect. Here it means staying in Arafah, the day. Whether standing, sitting, lying down, most importantly is to busy oneself in dua and in supplication and in remembrance, making remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun sets. On this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of the people of Arafah. Until on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of the people of Arafah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will be boastful of the people of Arafah before the habitants of the heavens, meaning the angels, saying to the angels, look at my slaves coming to me dusty and shaggy. Look at my slaves coming to me dusty and shaggy. It is important to remember this hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is boastful of the people of Arafah. And when the person is there and he remembers this hadith, this will incite him to humble himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to invoke him, supplicating him with yearning and submission. The believer continues on this state of remembrance until sun sets, until it sets. And it is forbidden for the believer to leave before sunset. If he leaves before sunset, he commits a sin, and he should return to Arafah and remain there until the sunset, and then offers as compensation, offers a sacrificial animal, fidya. Now, by sunset, there comes another move. They move now to another place, the place of Muzdalifah. The person should try to move with tranquility. And there when he reaches, he prays Maghrib, 3 rak'ah. And follows it with Isha, 2 rak'ah. At the time of Isha Salah. And then spends the night there. And spends the night at Muzdalifah. During the night, it is permissible for the week, at a later part of the night, for the week, and those who are in the company of the week, to move out of Muzdalifah to Mina, after midnight, and there to cast the Jamara of Al-Aqaba when they reach it. Upon reaching it, they go to Jamrat al-Aqaba. And then they throw the pebbles there. And we discussed this earlier, the manner of throwing the pebbles. This is permitted only for the weak and the people accompanying them. The rest stay at Muzdalifah, making remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they pray the Fajr. They pray the regular sunnah, the 2 rak'ah preceding the fard, and then the fard in Muzdalifah. In Muzdalifah, the pilgrim can move to Al-Mash'ar al-Haram in Muzdalifah and face the direction of the Qibla and exalt Allah and remember Him and recite La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And they keep supplicating the night, very late, after the Fajr rather, they supplicate until very late that morning. They move then to Mina before sunrise. And on the way to Mina, they can pick 7 pebbles the size of chickpea size. On their way to Mina. But it is also permissible for them to pick these petals from Muzdalifah itself or Mina. They continue with the Talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, until they reach the Jamara of Al-Aqaba, which is close or the closest one of the three Jamarat. Remember, the Jamarat are three. This Jamara is Jamaratul Aqaba, which is the closest to Mecca. And there they cast the seven pebbles at it, saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, every time they cast a pebble. Every time with the casting of a pebble, they say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Here it should be reminded that the pilgrim aims at making the pebble fall in the basin of the post, of the jamara. If he misses that, and it's very hard that this is the case now because the basin is wide, then he casts another one in its place. And part of the ignorant acts done at this place is, number one and most serious, is the pushing and shoveling people and hurling big stones. Some people throw slippers, some throw shoes and other things, and this can harm people and also forcing their way through. If you see it very crowded, then stay aside, come another time, because you can also throw during the night. After casting the pebbles, the pilgrim can slaughter the sacrificial animal and he may also assign someone on his behalf to do it. But suppose the person is unable, cannot afford. In this case, he can observe. He observes fasting 3 days during the Hajj and 7 days after returning home. A total of 10, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran. And it is recommended for the person to eat from the meat of his own sacrificial animal and to distribute the rest to the poor and needy. Then the pilgrim, cuts his hair, and this is the best when it comes to cutting in comparison with shortening. This is better. He can cut the hair, shave the hair rather, or cuts it. And it's better to shave. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned this, he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 3 times. For those who shave their hair. And with respect to the woman, she can clip a tiny piece of her hair. Upon finishing these matters, the pilgrim finishes the first stage of ihram and things that were prohibited during this state become lawful, except sexual relations and activities or advancement. This is the early termination state of ihram, or the preliminary one, the preliminary termination. The pilgrim then may take a shower and then proceed to Mecca to make the tawaf of Hajj, which is known as tawaful ifada, the tawaf of ifada. And when the person finishes this, he follows it by two rak'ah by Maqam Ibrahim, by the station of Ibrahim. But since he will most likely find it very crowded, then he can pray in any part of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Pray these two rak'ah. Now, if the person does not want to do the tawaf al-ifada on this day, he may have the opportunity not to make it on another day. Meaning, if it is not performed in the same day, so the pilgrim who has terminated his ihram and put on regular clothes, one opinion here for him is, once he goes to perform this tawaf, then he must resume the state of ihram. Other scholars suggest that this might be difficult for many people, and they say that it is no harm in terminating the ihram, even if the one does not perform the tawaf of ifada on the same day. Now, upon finishing the tawaf of ifada, this tawaf of hajj, the one who is doing the first type of hajj, which is the tamattu', the one who is performing the first type, then he goes to make the sa'i, the walk between Safa and Marwa, the 7 round walk between Safa and Marwa. Now, if the person is performing the Qiran, the second type, or Ifrad, the singular type, and he did not perform the Sa'i already, following his Tawaf of arrival when he came, then he must perform the Sa'i. At this point, the ihram will be terminated. And this is called the final stage of termination of ihram. And everything that is forbidden by assuming the state of ihram becomes lawful again. Everything. Everything. So, at this point, the ihram will be terminated. For the persons who perform the second types, the Qiran and Ifrad, and who did not perform the Sa'i, because you know, when you come to in your state of Hajj, you make the first tawaf, the tawaf of arrival, right? And if you did not make the Sa'i following it, now, on this day, you can perform the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Once that is done, then the state of termination of all the forms of Hajj terminate. And then everything will become permissible. From that which was forbidden will become permissible, because this is the final stage of termination of ihram. Now, what goes on the 11th, 12th and the 13th of Dhul Hijjah? The pilgrim following this returns to Mina, to his early station in Mina, and then spends the day of Eid, which is the 10th, and the Eid days and nights, and these are the 11th, 12th and 13th. These are all called the Eid days, 11th, 12th and 13th. What about the Salah during these days? Daily Salah, each at its prescribed time, shortening the 4 rak'ah into 2, making the 4 rak'ah in 2s. What are they? The Dhuhr, the Asr, and Isha. Without combination. Then there will be casting of pebbles in the afternoon of these days. So, on the first day, which is the 11th, 7 stones will be casted or thrown at the first jamara. Where is the location of this first jamara? There is a masjid known as Masjid Al-Khayf. Masjid Al-Khayf or Al-Khayf. This first jamara, this is known. It was very well known in Mina. This first jamara, this first post, is close to this masjid. And the way of throwing the pebbles is to be done in the same manner we described earlier. After throwing the pebbles at the jamara, the pilgrim makes steps forward, keeping the post on the left side while facing the qibla, keeping the jamara on his left side while facing the qibla. And then he stands there supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long time. Then afterwards he moves to cast the second jamara at its post. And this is known as the middle one. This is known as al-jamratul Wusta, the middle one. The same. 7 stones. Then in this case, the pilgrim steps aside, keeping this post on his right. And supplicates now a time shorter than the first. Then he proceeds to the third jamara at its post. No supplication is required. This is the casting of the pebbles on the 11th. The same procedure is to be done on the 12th. Now you know that the pilgrim has the option to stay the 13th or leave on the 12th. If the person wants to leave a day earlier, meaning on the 12th, then he may leave Mina, but before sunset on the 12th. Before sunset. And if he wants to stay until the 13th, and this is better, then he casts the stones at the three Jamarat as he did before. And then afterwards he moves to Mecca to perform the tawaf of farewell, the tawaf al-wada', the farewell tawaf. This is applicable to the pilgrims who are not residents of Mecca. This is applicable, this tawaf is applicable to the pilgrims who are not residents of Mecca. Then the Hajj procedure in this way will be finished or terminated or comes to an end upon performance of this farewell tawaf. Now, as to the time of casting the petals, it is in the afternoon, but if it's crowded, then you do that, you may do that at night. Question. Can the person on the day of Eid, which is the 10th, which is in which there are a lot of works of Hajj, can he put some before the other in order? Let us see the works done on this day so that we understand this point. The order which is preferable is as follows. The order of the works of the day of Eid, which is the 10th, are as follows. Casting, throwing the stones at Jamrat al-Aqaba. Slaughter of the sacrificial animal. Shaving or shortening to terminate the ihram. The first ihram. Then, tawaf al-ifada, which is the tawaf of Hajj, the major tawaf, the main tawaf. Then, the sa'i, in case of tamattu, in case of tamattu. This is the procedure of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And if it is followed in this manner, then it is better. Then it is better. It is, however, of no harm if one of these rituals is done before the other. For example, if the person shaves the hair before slaughtering the sacrificial animal, or perform the tawaf before casting the stones, and the like, or the like. As to the casting of the petals, it is permissible for the weak only to depute someone on his or her behalf, but not for healthy men or women. And the one who is deputed to cast must cast his petals first, then his the person who deputed him or his principals. General matters, one should choose good company. One should make his Hajj from lawful earnings, earned through lawful means. And it's also permissible for the one, for the pilgrim who is in a state of ihram, to have a bath and also to shower, put on cleaner towels, change his towels. And the person must save his tongue from lies and from slandering, backbiting, arguing, pushing. And also the person should remember that the slaughtering of the sacrificial animal extends until the sunset of the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. Extends till the sunset of the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. Women should have their mahrams with them. It is an innovation to recite the talbiyah in congregational matters or collectively and simultaneously. And the pilgrim should avoid visiting a number of mosques around Mecca. Also visiting Mount Hira and other mountains. There are pilgrims who busy themselves with these visits, and they think that this is part of Hajj. Also, the pilgrim should avoid visiting the Masjid of Aisha in the area of Mecca known as At-Tan'im for the purpose of performing an extra Umrah. This was not done by the companions. May Allah be pleased with them. Also, the pilgrim should not raise his hand upon touching the black stone as he does for the prayer, or kiss the Yemeni corner of the Kaaba, or pointing at it, or take special clothes with him, or take his clothes and take some shrouds and wash them with Zamzam water. Or performing nafil sa'i, for example, or congregational dua and loud. You see them walking the steps around the Kaaba, or in the sa'i you see some coming with groups and one of them in front carrying a book or making dua loudly, and he says, for example, Ya Allah, they say, Ya Allah, Ya Sami', or the one who hears, all hearer, Ya Sami', Ya Basir, they say, Ya Basir, and so forth. And also, the person should try his utmost to be careful not to walk in front of praying people, even in the haram. And concerning the visit to Medina, the visit is to, the intention of it is to visit the Prophet's Masjid, the Prophet's Mosque, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mosque. And then when he is there, the pilgrim proceeds to greet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his convenience time. It is also to be remembered that it is the sunnah for the Muslim to perform wudu, when in Mina, or when in Medina, to perform wudu, and go to Masjid Quba, Masjid Quba, to perform two rak'ah there. And this salah is equal in reward to that of Umrah. Allahu Akbar. It is the sunnah to perform wudu and go to Masjid Quba to perform two rak'ah there. And the reward of it is equivalent to that of Umrah. So therefore it is an innovation here. To remember, this is an innovation to go with the intention of making your trip to visit the grave of the Prophet والسلام, as the people of innovation. Make this to be almost the most important part of their trip. Rather, the intention is to go to visit the masjid. So therefore the trip just to visit the graves and the Prophet ﷺ's grave or any other grave is an innovation, is a bid'ah. Also one should remember not to visit the grave upon arrival, upon entering the masjid, before making the salah. This is a bid'ah. Also facing the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while making dua. And the way to make the dua is to face the direction of the qibla. Also addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with supplication, supplicating him. This is an act of shirk. And there are people who face the grave after every salah for greeting, they say. This is an innovation. Also there is an innovation which is, there are people who spend 8 days in Medina to perform 40 salah in the Prophet's masjid. And they say that this protects one who does it from hellfire. This is baseless. These are some reminders, general reminders concerning the Hajj. And this, inshallah ta'ala, concludes the subject on Hajj. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it of a benefit for all of us. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Astaghfirullah al-azim wa atubu alayhi.